But turn over to the book of Galatians. If you give me... Huh? No. Book of Galatians. Book of Galatians. I'm glad the rest of you brought your Bibles. Book of Galatians, chapter 6. Chapter 6. Let's all stand. Maybe somebody let Miss Jenny look on. It's unbelievable. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. We're going to do some teaching tonight, and I think you'll like this. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to bless your word. I pray you'd give me wisdom. I pray you'd encourage every heart in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. What are you sowing? What are you sowing in your life? And I want to share with you three things, three points. You reap the same as you sow. You reap in proportion to your sowing. And you reap more than you sow. And I want to share this with you. We're going to be in the book of Galatians. Then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. And then Luke chapter 6. We'll be there a while. And then we'll end up in Malachi. But I want to share with you some things. One thing you and I need to learn is we need to do things in every area of our lives the way the Scripture teaches us to do them. And we need to think the way God thinks. And so what I want to share with you, point number one, is you reap the same as you sow. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Now, it says in Galatians 6, verse 7, it says, be not deceived. It says, look, the Bible's telling it to you and me straight. It said, don't fool yourself. God is not mocked, meaning, and then he goes on to tell you why, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So whatsoever means that and only that is what you will reap, is whatever you sow. If you sow, and then watch this, you can turn your life around. I promise you, we're down on the farm, and one year I sow banana trees, if that's possible. And that don't work down where I grew up. You wouldn't grow a single banana tree because it's not the right client. And then next year I get wise and I sow wheat or corn. I'll have a good crop if it rains. You can turn your life around if you will look at what you're sowing in your life and sow what God wants you to sow to reap a good harvest. And it says whatsoever. That is, whatever you're sowing, whatever it is, you're going to reap that. If I go out and I sow, Brother Hagee, if I sow a field of corn, I will not be getting watermelons out of that field in the fall. I will not do that. And a lot of times we're sowing, we have intentions. We say, well, I really mean this, but this is what I'm sowing. You're going to reap whatsoever you sow, whatever it is, whatever it is. And watch, let's break it down. For example, if you give God very little time, you're going to get very little time back from God. It's not going to be multiplied. I have never met somebody, I have never met anybody that has extra time. Have you? I have never met anybody. We're always running a day short and a dollar short too, a day late and a dollar short. I have never met anybody, but I promise you, you need to sow time for God first. We need to do that. God wants the first fruits. And we need to make sure that our time is sown and we give God some of the time. I promise you, if you'll do that, you can turn your life around. You can do that. It takes time to do that. We'll see that. Your talents. What are you doing? What are you sowing right now for God? You say, well, Brother Ray, I read my Bible a little bit each day and I pray a little bit each day. That's not what I'm talking about. Your talent. What are you doing? What are you giving to God for his kingdom? What are you doing for God? Are you witnessing to anybody? Are you trying to bring anybody to church? Are you trying to expand God's influence in the people's lives in your life? That's using your talent for God. If you'll sow that, watch this, God will multiply it back to you. That the reaping will come back to bless you for sowing, trying to influence somebody else's life. Here's what happens. If you give your time to the Lord or you give your talent to the Lord and you try to influence one or two people for the Lord, God, watch this, God will send people your way to influence others for you. You might even have a boss that actually likes you or you might even get a raise or something, but God will do that. and you watch it, that's in the Bible, we'll see that. So your time, whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. What are you sowing with your time? What are you sowing with your talent? And what are you sowing with your tithe? Now, I will promise you this. You need to give 10% off the top to the Lord. I promise you with all of my heart. You are stealing from yourself. For example, Miss Lily, if I give 10 cents out of every dollar to the Lord, don't you think God can take the 90 cents and make it go further? He sure can. Here is what happens. If you cheat God, and I'm telling you in love, I promise you I'm telling you guys in love, if you cheat God on the tithe, you will have to replace more washing machines. You'll have to repair your car more. Everything breaks down. And I'll show you why later when we get all the way to the book of Malachi. You need to give your tithe off the top to the Lord. Just cut the check. Off of the 10% comes off of the gross, too. My first year at a college, I was doing it on the net check. I said, Lord, I'm going to tithe right into the box. I'm going to be faithful to you. And I did it on my net take-home check. And I got into December, and I figured it up. I said, boy, I'm an idiot. I've been doing this thing on the net, not the gross. And I didn't want to cheat God because I meant it. I said, I'm going to commit it to you. And so I cut the difference and gave it to the Lord. Now, this is the truth, and I've shared this here before. In order to do that, my job, my first job, I think it was at the IRS. But anyway, the job had ended, and I didn't have any job lined up. No job lined up. And I'd interviewed in a position, and there were like 20-plus of us guys that interviewed, guys and gals. And I didn't have it. And in order to give that check, it was going to leave, and this is the gospel truth, like 5, 10, 15 bucks in my checking account, which I was sort of used to having a checking account. That's all I ever had in it anyway. I got one of those checking accounts that was exempt from penalty. You know, I don't know how I did that. But anyway, and I had to do that. And I had to make a choice. Am I going to trust God and just do it? Or am I going to back out right now? And I begin to think, you know, God has allowed me to be in this predicament to test me. And I don't like to flunk tests. So I went and cut that check. I got it to the church house on time. You ought to bring it to God's storehouse. I believe in that. I got it to the church house on time. And within a couple of days, I got a phone call from that place that I'd interviewed. They called my mother. And Miss Shelby, you should have heard my mother. You could have heard her all the way up the street. And they said, is your son still interested in this job? And my mother is Redneck City. She says, yeah, my boy's the man you need for that job. So she's preaching to the guy on the phone. Because he's telling me this later. And they said, would he be still? She said, yeah. So she found me. I was with my brother. We were working and doing whatever. And I called the guy back, said, yes. He said, but I got a problem. He says, I want you to start, and I want to know if it's okay with you if I start you as of January 1, and you don't have to come in on January 1, but we'll pay you for it anyway. I said, I think I can handle that. Can you do that? Now, do I believe for a second that if I hadn't cut that last tithe check, I'd have got that job? I don't. I think that, and looking back, I didn't think about that. But I'm here to tell you, whatsoever you sow, you are going to reap. If I'm watch this. If I am tight with God, I am not going to reap His blessings. I will not do it. I will not do it. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap, no matter what it is. Now watch this. Whatsoever, and we'll talk about this a little later. Whatsoever, if I sow corn, I'm not going to get watermelon. If I try to sow a lot of time, but I don't give my tithe, I might get more time back. But I'm not getting that tithe back, okay? You got to sow what you want to reap. And we ought to do it as unto the Lord. And in verse 8, it catches us here. It says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And you say, what in the world does that mean? What that means is this. If I sow out of selfish lust, meaning what do I get out of this, I'm going to reap that same attitude. What's in it for me? So don't do that away. Because it tells you, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know what that means? That means that when I sow to the Spirit, when I sow to do it as unto the Lord, I will reap blessings from here throughout eternity. Let me ask you a question. How much in your bank account are you going to take with you when you die? Zero. Scripture says, though, we can send it on up ahead. You can send it on up ahead through your tithes and offerings. Now, I don't know what anybody gives here. Miss Jenny and Miss Debbie don't let me get near the money here. They say I'm a lawyer, so I can't be trusted. I don't know. But they don't let me get there. But let me ask you this. When I get before the Lord Jesus Christ, if I've sent nothing ahead, am I going to be feeling pretty good or pretty lousy? I'm going to be feeling pretty lousy. I mean, if you send nothing ahead, then and you're standing before Christ, and all you had was enough faith to get you saved, but you never sent anything ahead, I'm going to be feeling pretty bad. I want him to know that I can trust him, that I can trust him, and I want to send it ahead. Send it ahead. Give it ahead of time. And you do the same. Don't be tight with God. You may say, but Brother Ray, I'm not giving to this church because I don't like you. Well, that's fine, but you need to give it to the Lord somehow, okay? I think it's the best place to give it, amen. But you need to do that. You need to get up off your checkbook so that whatsoever you sow, you'll start the harvest. Now, if I go over today, Brother Hagee, and sow a field of corn seed, if I sow it today, do I go back tomorrow and get all the corns and pick them up and bring them home? No. It takes time. And you got to get this thing turned around. I promise you in love, I'm telling you in love, you got to turn this puppy around. You got to turn this ship around and start giving and let and just keep giving, keep giving, keep giving, and you'll see the harvest come in. I can't even begin to tell you how many times God has proven that true in my life, and he'll do the same in you. He is no respecter of persons. He doesn't like anybody more than anybody else, even though some of us on the front pew thinks that. He just doesn't. He likes us all the same. Amen. Now, in verse 9, watch this. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know what that means? That means simply this. If, Brother Moses, I go home and work on the farm all spring and I sow everything, and then I get so tired, I just up and quit and pack my bags and leave. The harvest is still coming in. I'm just going to miss out on it because I packed my bags too soon and I left. And some of us in the Christian walk, we get into a situation where we're giving, giving, giving. Then we get exhausted and we say, well, I'm out of here. I'm packing my bags and I'm gone. I'm not a part of this group anymore. And you miss your harvest that way. You miss your harvest. The harvest is there. It's coming in, but you miss it because you took off, and somebody else is going to enjoy it. Don't do that. Now, watch this. It says in here, it says, for in due season we shall reap. Now, I'm going to show you what that means. This is exciting. Over in Psalm 1, I'm going to just read it to you. If you want to mark it or look there, you can. Psalm 1, verse 3. Talking about a man who walks after God. Psalm 1 is a very good psalm to read, the first chapter in Psalm. And then in verse 3 it says, and he, talking about a man of God who's faithful, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now what did it say back over in Galatians? It says in Galatians 6 verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season. You got that word season? In Psalm 1, it says, and he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper in his season. Now, God uses the word season, and he links it up in Genesis 8. Remember Noah and them after the flood? And the Lord, watch this. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. This is after the flood. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. He said, I'm not going to send a flood like I did before. But in verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. You know what that's talking about? Seed time. And then harvest time, it talks about the seasons. Do you realize, watch this, that you have a season and nobody can take it away from you? Watch this. In Psalm 1, when it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Why is the scripture telling you that if you live for the Lord and trust him, that you're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water? The reason God is telling you that is because when, watch this, when everybody else is going through famine and hard times, you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You will not experience that. You will see it with your eyes. You will hear of it with your ears. But somehow God will take you through that. Okay? I mean, this is God's promise. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Nobody can stop you from the season. Your season. It's yours. It says it's yours. It says, bring forth his fruit in his season. It's your fruit that God has promised you, and it's your season. And God just told us in Genesis that that the seasons will be there forever. He's never going to remove them again. Never going to change them like he did with Noah. The season. And so what is it that you and I need to do? Whatsoever a man soweth, shall he also reap. And when you sow, you have a season that God has promised you that nobody can take away. And the famines can't take it away. It's amazing to me. If you want to, is it Shannon? Don't you like me calling your name and pick on you? Shannon, do you happen to be married? Okay. Watch this. I'm going to pick on you. If you want God to bless you in your season of marriage, if God intends that for you, you need to be sowing now. You need to be sowing now. You see, the season is not limited. When God protects your season, down home on the farm when the harvest came in, I mean, everybody got excited. Everybody got happy. Everybody was blessed. And when your season comes in, everybody in your family gets blessed. It spills over to them. It spills over. When a mother's prayers and a mother's tithes and a mother's giving and all of that, when that season comes in, your daughters get blessed because of it. Even when they shouldn't be, they get blessed because of it. Amen? And so your season is there for the taking and is promised of God. But you need to sow it, not in an attitude of flesh, but in an attitude of loving the Lord. Don't have a selfish reason to it. If you do, you won't get anything. But there is a season. And it says, if we faint not, just be persistent. Why does the Scripture have to tell you in Galatians 6, verse 9, if we faint not? Because you and I are human, and we're all tempted to say, I am tired of dealing with this situation. You ever been there? I am tired of dealing with it. But let me tell you something. If you get tired of every situation in your life, you do not get tired and don't ever choose God's work. Don't ever do that. Be faithful. I recommend reading four chapters a day in the Old King James. I'm going to just tell you what my numbers. You know, in my business, what we like to do, Brother Hagee, if a guy's going to go into a certain business, before he goes into the business, he'll go and meet with other people who've already been successful to say, can you give me some advice? What I like to do is in the Christian walk, I like to look at people who God has blessed and say, tell me how you do that. So here's what I've learned. I'll give you some tips. Number one, you stay with the Old King James. It's the best one, I promise you. You may say it's Old English. I promise you, it'd take me a week to explain to you why it's so good. You stay with the King James, the Old King James. Second thing is this. You be faithful in your tithes and bump it a little bit and give a little bit above your tithes in offerings. We're going to have somebody come in this fall talking about faith promise and giving to missions. But give a little bit above it and be faithful. You can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. It's not, a lot of people used to joke and say, well, the preacher just wants more money. That's not true. It's a true blessing of God. Give. So be faithful in the Old King James. And you ought to, I read four chapters a day. Why? Because I am that bad, I guess, Ms. Lily. I just need that anchor and read it every day. Four chapters a day. Give your tithe and a little bit above that. Just do it. Just go crazy and start cutting them checks, man. And you, I promise you, at the end of the year, it won't add up. You can't ever give God. And pray. Pray. Pray for people that you don't even get along with, but pray. Have a time of prayer. I've got prayer cards. I don't have them all here. But I got prayer cards. I got Marie's and Alan Garrison's right here. I got Miss Nellie's right here. I ought to hide it because she ain't here, but anyway, won't do that. I noticed Miss Debbie's because I got Debbie and Charlie and Jennifer and Landon and Haley on it. I got that here. And Robert on there. I got Miss Woody's. I got Francis. I got Lenora's. I have Linda. And guess what, Pam? I got yours right here. Right there. Now, I got the whole stack at home, which would fill up my pocket, but I keep some because I take time to pray. Do I pray because I'm Mr. Goody Two-Shoes? No, I'm not. I'm a Mr. Sinner saved by grace. But I pray for you because we need to pray for one another. Amen. And so pray every day. Read the King James 4 chapters a day. Get into tithes and offerings and be faithful to church. I appreciate y'all being here tonight. It's a holiday weekend. What are you doing here? You crazy? But I appreciate you being here. Every one of you. Appreciate it. Come to church. God says, them that honor me, I will honor. Everyone that's here tonight, you've honored God. God's going to honor you. He's going to do it. You can't outgive him. You can't do it. You just can't. And so the first principle is you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And then in verse 10 of chapter 6, and we're going to move on. Verse 10, chapter 6, it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. As we have opportunity. I promise you, if you'll watch this will drive you crazy. Start saying, God, give me an show me an opportunity to give more. He'll show you. Show me an opportunity to pray more. He'll show you. He'll put a burden. Some of you have burdens for loved ones, and you think, God, I wish you could take this burden away. No, you don't. No, sir. That's a blessing from God. If you've got a burden for a loved one, that's a blessing from God, because God has put them on your heart. Because God wants somebody to be praying for him, to stand in the gap and be praying for him. And some of you say, well, I've asked my child or my relative 100 times to come to church, and they think I'm the biggest nag in the world. You stay being a nag because you love them and you care. I asked my daughter, my little child, to be here tonight. She's not here. I will talk to her later, amen, I promise you. Why? Because I love her, and I want her in God's house, amen. I want you in God's house. Why? Because God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. So number one, you reap the same as you sow. Number two, we're right on schedule. Number two, you reap in proportion to your sowing. In 2 Corinthians, if you want to turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says this, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, watch this, he which soweth sparingly also shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. I mean, you don't give because you think, well, I need to do this. For God loveth the cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, Brother Ray, what does all that mean? Number one, if you sow out of a greedy heart, you're not going to get much back. For example, if I go out, tell me, is the math true? If I go out and I sow 1 acre of corn seed, how much of a harvest am I going to get? Am I going to get a harvest on the 1 acre plus 10 more I didn't sow? No. You get the harvest from the acre you sowed. So what I want to do if I'm a really diligent farmer, not a lazy bum, Brother Hagee, is I want, instead of sowing seed to fill up 1 acre, I want to get 10 acres ready, or maybe 100 acres. Why? Because in the same way you sow, you're going to get it back. Now, no farmer I know, my brother never did this, he never said, you know what, let's sow a whole lot less this year because we need to save, and then we'll have more in the fall. He never did that stupid math. If I go out and I say, well, this year I'm only going to sow a half an acre because times are tight and we need to just save, so I'm just going to sow a half an acre and I'm praying God will give me 10 acres of harvest. Fat chance you're wasting your time praying, amen? You got to sow. And so what we would do, my brother and I, what we would do if we were running short of money, we go find a banker and say, hey, you got to help me out, because we can't cut back on our sowing. Now watch this. Here's what the devil does to you. He tries to get you in a tight situation. Don't we all sort of live there a lot of times? In a tight financial situation. So you'll say, I can't afford to tithe. Big mistake. You can't afford not to. Big mistake. Big mistake. Big mistake. Don't let that happen to you. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. And if you sow with a grudge, with a bad attitude, you're going to kill the harvest. But you need to sow bountifully. And then it says in verse 7, what God wants of 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, He wants us all to be a cheerful giver, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And it says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. He wants us to have a giving attitude. You know, as I shared this morning, one of the things that I loved with all my heart was my mother's generosity. I mean, just give. Were you to death? She'd always have $20 at least in her pocket, didn't she, Yvonne? She'd always have $20, and she'd always be chasing me out the door, and she'd say, here, son, here, take this $20. Take it. I'm not giving it to you. That's just an example. But anyway, that's just an example. But anyway, just take it. Now, her birthday was today, and she got well taken care of, I promise you, because I know I'm just leaving that alone, amen. She got well taken care of. But God wants you to purpose in your heart. He wants you and me to purpose in our heart, watch this, to be happy. Why? You can be happy. I can be happy giving to my loved ones like Yvonne because I know, number one, it's not wasted. Number two, she'll appreciate it. And number three, she will be a part of my family and bless me back. God wants you, watch this, to be cheerful when you give as unto Him because you're part of His family and He's going to take care of you. Now, I don't know about you, especially you moms, but when I give anything to my kids, if they give me anything back, they never outgive me. True? They never. Shannon probably thinks, and I'm going to try not to pick on you too much, but Shannon probably thinks, I am too nice to mom. No. I used to think sometimes, well, look at all that I do for mom. And you know, the longer I live, the more I realize how little I did for her and how much I wish I'd done more. Breaks my heart sometimes. I wish I'd done more just to show mom how much I love her. I could never outgive mom because mom gave on a percentage basis. Her $20 was worth $2,000 based on her financial situation. When she's making 40 bucks a week, her $20 was a lot of money. Think about if you had to cut a half of your paycheck and give it away. That's the way my mother was. Just give. She never could keep a checkbook. She just give. And here, the scripture says, as you purposeth in your heart. Don't you love it when your kids especially will give to you with a happy heart? Like they brought Yvonne this necklace. And that makes her happy. She's talking about how she's going to wear this necklace that Lydia got her. It is the most different necklace I've ever seen, but Yvonne loves it, and she's all excited about it, and I'm glad she is, amen? But it makes you excited, and when you do that toward God the Father, when God the Father knows, my goodness, my child, Miss Shelby, just trust me, He will never let you outgive Him. He'll never do that. Purposeth in your heart. Have a trusting attitude toward your Heavenly Father, and give. And it says in verse 8, it says, and God is able, watch this, to make all grace abound towards you. How much is all grace? All, there's nothing left. God will make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, watch this, having all sufficiency in all things. How much is all sufficiency? You're not short anything. It's everything you need. That all sufficiency in all things, are you going to miss out on anything? No, it's all things. May abound to every good work. God wants to bless you and provide all your needs so that you can abound in all the good works you want to do. You know, it's a catch-22. If I don't give, I can't get blessed to do more good works for the Lord. But if I ease up on my checkbook and give, and ease up on my time and give, and ease up on my talent and give, God lets the grace flow in my life, and I have more time, more talent, and more tithe to do it, and God uses it to allow me to do more and greater works for His kingdom. The greatest work you can do for his kingdom is to take people with you to heaven when you go. Amen? The greatest work my mother ever did for me is she just stood in the gap for me and loved me. The greatest work. A mother's prayers can turn the world upside down. Miss Tooley, the truth is this. It won't be till years after you're in heaven jumping up and down on them golden streets that your children fully understands, and they're going to disagree with me and beat me up when I leave here tonight. That's okay. But it'll only be then that they fully understand the power of your prayers and how God blessed you. Only then. Right now they think they know, but they won't until then, I promise you. You can't ever give God. Now, you reap the same as you sow. You reap in proportion to what you sow. If you sow a little, you're going to reap a little. If you sow a lot, you're going to reap a lot. And the third and final point is you will always reap more than you sow. Always. You cannot ever give God. In Luke 6, we looked at this, I think, last week. Luke 6, verse 36, it says this. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. How is God merciful to you? Think about it. You know what? You and me are the same. We're sinners saved by grace. How is he merciful to me? He is merciful, watch this, when he withholds judgment. Some of you parents have done that with your children. They've messed up, and you ought to light a fire on them, but you show mercy. God does that with us. He ought to light a fire under some of us and tie us up by our toenails, but he shows mercy. And here, when it says, be ye therefore merciful, God is asking you to withhold judgment from people in your lives. They deserve judgment. They deserve you to get on their case. But God says, I want you to withhold that and I want you to be merciful. The same way I'm merciful to you. I don't give you what you deserve. I give you what my love wants to give you. And God is asking you and me to do that. And it says in verse 37, judge not and ye shall not be judged. And then in verse 38, given and shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And we discussed that last week, but I'm going to touch on that a little bit in a different angle. It's a guaranteed result. If you give, it says give and it shall be given. Not it may be, not hope so, not just pray about it, but God says, I promise you, it's his word, if you give, it shall be given back to you. Guaranteed return. It says it's going to be pressed down, meaning it's going to be multiplied, and it's going to be the same measure. Now, the same measure means this. It means God's going to use the same weight, the same measure. It's like a measuring cup. He's going to use the same measuring cup to you. So here's the difference, though. Watch this. Brother Hagee, if I use this as my measuring cup compared to what I own, it has a certain ratio there. Okay? So let's say this, whatever's in this measuring cup is about 10% of what I own, or 5% of what I own, or the value of all my estate, whatever's in this measuring cup. So I'm giving away 5%. I'm using that measure. When God returns, he's going to use the same measure. So he's going to use a 5% cup too. But guess what? It's not 5% compared to what I own. It's 5% compared to what he owns. It's a big difference. He's going to use the same measure. If I give to him a percentage. Also, the same measure means the same quality. Suppose I give him leftovers. Not a good idea. Give him the first fruits. Give him your best. Off the top. Don't give him the leftovers. I don't want to give him the leftovers. And suppose in the Old Testament, God got on his priests. He said, you guys are coming in here and giving me leftover lambs that you don't want yourself. These old broken-bodied animals and calves that are all broken. He says, will you accept that if I gave you broken animals that you can't even eat? He said, quit giving me leftover junk. Watch this. The same measure. If I give him leftover junk, I'm getting leftover junk back. You see what I'm saying? So what we want to do is we want to give him of our best. Of our best. Give him of our best off the top. And if we give with a... If I give, Brother Moses, with a bad attitude, guess what? I'm going to get that back. I want to give with an open heart, an open hand, and a good attitude. Now, how can you have a good attitude in giving? God can give it to you. Just ask Him. He'll give it to you. Or just keep cutting the checks. And sooner or later, you either go crazy or get a good attitude. Amen. Just keep doing it. And He gives it back to you more than you give. Now, here we go. Luke 18. We're going to run toward the finish line, so hang on with me. Luke 18, verse 29, says this. And He said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. A lot of people say, well, I really need to help her at home and do this. And we think, well, I got to put God last and take care of my family first. Big mistake. Scripture says, no man have left house or parents or brethren or wife or children. So a lot of times I'm sure, maybe not, but I'm sure, Yvonne would wish that I'd slow down. And I don't think she does. She would wish that because she knows I'm serving the Lord. But not to be out calling people and inviting people and doing what I do for the Lord. But the Scriptures told me, no man that hath left wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time. If I want blessings upon my wife and my children, I need to, quote, leave them at times to serve in the kingdom, knowing God will bless them. It is a big mistake. I have family members right now that will tell me to my face, we need to spend more time with each other. We don't have time for church because we need to spend more time at cookouts and all of this. Now, I understand what their intentions are. They don't really have bad intentions. It's a bad philosophy, though. Because if you want to have the best relationships with your family, there's got to be a forsaking where you go down to the church house. And my daughters know that where they can always find me. Sunday morning, they know where I am. Sunday night, they know where I am. Wednesday night, they know where I am. Visitation time, they know where I am. They know what I do on Saturdays. Getting ready for Sundays. They know where I am. Am I going to abandon what I'm trying to do for the Lord and go and just hang out with them? I love to hang out with them. No. They need to come and hang out with Daddy for the Lord. Now, the biggest mistake is this I could make. I can get all upset and say, I wish I had more time to spend with my daughters, and I can back off of doing what God wants me to do, and it'll be the worst thing I could ever do to my children to back off. I want to stand before God's altar as much as I can so that God will bless my girls. Now, my girls will receive blessings that they don't even know about if I'll just be faithful. Ms. Tooley, your family will receive blessings that they don't even know about just because of your faithfulness. I wonder how many blessings your family has received because of Pastor Tooley's faithfulness. There is nobody on this planet that will ever match his faithfulness. Nobody. That man would get me exhausted just listening to him talk about what he does for the Lord. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. And the Scripture says, hey, if you really want to receive manifold more in this present time, there's got to be a leaving where you don't hang out with your family all the time. You come out and hang out with God and do what God wants. And that, I know some of us thinks, well, that's a little hard to take. That's Scripture. And God never asks you to do anything except out of a great love that He has for you. Now, Luke 21, I'm going to show you this. And then we got one more verse we're going to look at and we're done. Luke 21. It says here in verse 1, And he looked up, this is Christ, and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And when we were over in Israel, I was told it was a mite because they wanted my money. So I hope it is. But we got one, didn't we, Yvonne? But anyway, and he said, Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast it into the offerings of God, but she of her penury, meaning her poverty, hath cast in all the living that she had. He said, this lady, two mites, cast in all of her living. Now, you hear a lot of people say charity begins at home. Hogwash. Here's why. If Jesus Christ, of all the people, he could have said, wait a minute, you need to keep that money and go back home. Of all the people he met, this lady was the number one candidate for him to tell her that. And if Jesus Christ thought charity began at home, he would have told this little old widow lady, for heaven's sakes, honey, keep your two mites. Don't put in the offerings at the down at the temple. Don't do that. But no, he used that as an example to tell you and me that she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And he says, they gave in out of the abundance, but she gave in out of her poverty. And he says, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. Than all the rich people, she cast in more. Because she did it out of her poverty. Now, if charity began at home, Jesus Christ would have made that woman keep her two mites and told her to go home. Don't you ever buy into that line. That's a lie. That's a lie. The best thing you can do to bring blessings upon your family is to bring your two mites down to God's house. That's the best thing you can do. Now, lastly, is Malachi 3:10. God not only gives back to you in multiples and he adds it back to you, but there's a time and a place where God, watch this, can absolutely drop a boatload on you. Now, you've seen the progression. God will give back to you based on how you give and all of that. But there's a time, I want to get into the boatload business, amen? When we're doing deals at the office, if I told a guy, I said, look, if you go into this business, you'll get a 10% return. But if you go over here and invest here, you'll get a 50% return. But if you go over here and take the same amount of money and hard work and invest in this third thing, you'll get 300% return. Do you think he's going to take the 10% return? He's going to go over here and take the 300% return. And get this. If I say to him, which I don't because I can't do this, if I said, look, the 10% return, the 50% return, and the 300% return are all guaranteed, take your choice. Guaranteed, take your choice. Which one do you think he's going to take? He's going to take the 300%. Here's God's 300 zillion percent right here. I'm going to show it to you. In Malachi 3, now follow this and we're done. Hang on with me. It says in verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. First of all the tithes. Are you going to cheat him on anything? No, you got to bring it all in. Bring it all in. Into the storehouse. The storehouse, what's that? That's this church right here. I promise you. That there may be meat in mine house. God says, what I want you to do is I want you to take care of my house. I want you to bring in all the tithes, take care of my house. That's what I want you to do. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. I believe this is the only place in Scripture where God says, you prove me. Give me a test. He says, first of all, I want you to bring in all the tithes that you owe off the top. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has everything to do with blessings. Bring it all in to my house, that my house is taken care of, and then give me a test. After you bring it in, just give me a test. And here's the test. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Now, you see how big this window is right here? This is a man-made window right here. I'm knocking things down. A man-made window. The windows of heaven are not the same size. They're not. They're not tiny. This is tiny. They're not tiny. The windows of heaven are God's windows, amen? You're talking about the 300 zillion return right there. Now, is the return only in money? No, watch this. Prove me now who has said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Remember, it's his windows, it's not ours, and pour you out a blessing. Now, how big is that blessing going to be, God? That there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says, just prove me. And I'll open up the windows of heaven, and I'll pour you out a blessing that you don't have buckets enough to catch it all. Why? Why does God do that? Because he wants it to spill over in your family. You remember when Peter and them were out on the boat, and they'd fished all night, and God wanted them to help him with, let him use Peter's boat to preach, and then he said, well, push it out a little bit, and he said, cast your nets down, and they said, well, Jesus, we done toiled here all night. We hadn't caught anything, and now's the wrong time. I mean, there's a lot of fishermen reasons that they were doing it at the wrong time, the wrong side of the boat, everything, you know. And Jesus, remember he told them, Jesus has a sense of humor. He said, just throw your nets on the other side of the boat. Now, let me give you a secret. If there are no fish on the right side of the boat, there ain't going to be no fish on the left side of the boat either, amen? But he said, just throw it on the other side. You remember what happened? Peter began to pull that net in, and it was so full, watch this, his boat could not contain it all. So the second group of fishermen, they were at a distance. Peter and them yelled for him and said, come over. And the scripture says that the load was so great, both their boats almost sank. Now, guess what? Peter's wife was back home. Did she know anything about this? Not at all, until he got home. And Peter had fished all night, and he should have got home early that morning, Brother Charlie, but because he let Jesus use his boat to preach, and then he went fishing again afterwards, he didn't get home till late. So when he walked in the door, she had cold food on the table, and she was not happy. And she said, Peter, you should have been here 5 hours ago. What in the world's going on? You got to get sleep. You got to sleep all day because you got to go back and fish all night again. And how are we going to make ends meet? And old Peter said, wait a minute. I altered the course of my life for Christ, and you'll never believe what happened. We don't have to go fishing for a long time. And she didn't even know what happened. Miss Shelby, when you and I get in on God's plan, we won't be able to receive it all because it'll spread over to our family and our children. You know what? If my children miss out on one heartache because of my giving, isn't it worth it all? If my children, if God gives them an extra good job, and I'll never know this till I get to heaven, or they keep their car running, or they keep them safe on the highways, and I'll never know this till I get to heaven. But if he does that, isn't those blessings worth more than any dollars you could ever put in my pocketbook? And if my children, and they all profess to be, are saved and go to heaven, you couldn't buy that on this type of life. Now watch this. We got one more verse. Watch this. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Now, if you gave me 10 filet mignon steaks, but I put them back in my refrigerator at home, and there was a devourer in the house that I didn't know about, and he snuck in there and ate them all, what good would it do you to give them to me if they were all stolen by the devourer? If God blesses you, he also will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, Miss Pam. So nobody takes it away from you. Nobody. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. When you go in and work with your hands, what you do will prosper. The devourer won't be able to destroy it anymore. Will not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Meaning your harvest won't come in too soon so that it rots or is damaged. It comes in right on time. And a lot of times what I want to do is rush things. Says, Lord, I planted this field of corn today. I want a harvest of corn ears tomorrow. God won't answer that prayer. Why? Because he doesn't want it to come in at the wrong time. You want to get in on what God's got and his plan? Sure you do. It just takes faith. You say, but Brother Ray, I don't have that kind of faith. Do any of us have that kind of faith except for God? God puts that faith in our lives. 3 points and we're done. And Yvonne, you come on to the piano. Number one, what are you sowing? You always will reap the same thing you sow. So you decide what you want to reap and then sow it. Number two, you reap in proportion to your sowing. If you want to increase your reaping, you got to increase your sowing. You got to do more. And number three, you reap more than you'll ever sow. Why? Because you can never, in this lifetime, ever outgive God. You cannot do it. Get in on God's plan. What are you sowing? Get in on his plan, amen? What hymn have we got, Honey Bunch?
Only Trust Him 301.
301.